What makes a good king or queen is someone who, I'm just going to think now what the Bible says, is someone who loves what is right and good and wants to take care of people. So they want what's right and what's good, and they want to take care of people. And then we'd say, yes, no, we'd like you to be in charge of us. We'd happily obey you, depending on your political views and understanding of social contract. You'd say, yes, we'll happily listen to you because we can see that you want what is right and good and you want to care for us. Well, in that Bible reading that we're learning about at this Christmas time, really, we're going to meet two kings. I think we'll find one king is a good king, and one king is not a very good king. Let's think about what helpfully was read to us. Let's think about it again. We're going to meet the first king now. It says, Jesus was born in Judea, Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. So, who's the king at this time? The first king we meet is called Herod. Yes. So when we say Herod, really you want to go, not a good king. He was in God's place, so Judea and Bethlehem, that was God's special place where God's people were. But was he God's special king? No. God didn't put him there. Other people put him there. He just wanted to be in charge. He didn't think what was right and what was wrong. He didn't want what was good for people. He just enjoyed being in charge and telling people what to do. Do you ever read the news? Might sound familiar, I don't know. The point is, the important thing is, this wouldn't have been a nice king to have. Someone who just wanted to be in charge, liked telling people what to do. But the good thing is, this is the really good thing, this is what makes Christmas so good, is that God had promised them that he's going to give them a good king. A king who would care for us. A king who would give them what they needed. And they were waiting for that good king, God's king. And that's why it's so amazing what happens next. We're going to meet the next king. Ready? This is another king. It comes in a strange way. It says, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews or king of God's people? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So these men come and they're called wise men, or you can call them magi. That's a funny name, isn't it? Magi. They were people who looked at the stars. Who are they? They just came from the east. They came from where usually bad stuff is. They were strangers. People were like, who are you? You're not from around here. You're not one of God's people. But they wanted to come and worship God's special good king. They said, where is the king of the Jews? We want to worship your king. Where are these people coming from? They've come so far. Do you know, they could have traveled 500 to 1,000 miles. I wonder if you like traveling. I wonder if you like going on a car journey, maybe. Imagine if you got up in the morning and you got in the car and you had to drive all day. And then you got home, got somewhere and you went to bed. And then you got up the next day and you drove all day. And then you went to bed and the next day you drove all day. And you did that all week. And then you did it for next week. That's how long it would have taken. But they would have been on camels, smelly camels in the desert for maybe 2 weeks. Who does that? Why are they doing that? This must be something amazing happening. And it's not even for their king. They're from somewhere else. It'd be like Manchester United fans putting on their Manchester United kit and walking to Manchester City Stadium and saying, we're here to support Manchester City. Everyone will go, what are you doing here? Why? The thing we need to go is, well, something special is happening, isn't it? Well, this is... It sounds so strange and so amazing. Something really special is happening. And think about it. How did they know to go there? How did they know that God's special king was coming? Anybody, how did they know? Go on, yeah, how did they know? A star? A star? Think about that for a second. They went outside, they looked at the sky at night, it's very pretty, and they saw the stars and went, ah! We know there's going to be a really special king. God's king's going to be born. And then they followed it. Have you ever heard of anyone following a star? Ever? I mean, some people are really impressed. If they get in their car and they've got their little screen, they go, "Ooh, I've got a car with a sat nav," and they follow the little map. You go, "That's nothing." Have you ever heard of anyone saying, "I'm going to follow a star"? And do you know how they knew to follow that star? Because I have no idea. No idea. What were they doing following a star? To worship another king. But the point is, that's amazing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing that they've traveled all that way, following a star. People who didn't normally worship God. It shows that God is bringing people into his place, bringing people to worship his king, and he's moving stars to show people how important this is. That his king is coming, who's so much better than our kings. A king who is good, who wants to take care of us, to give us what we need. So how do you think people respond to God's good king? What do you think they do? So they come to God's people and they say, "We're here to worship your king." What do you think Herod said? When Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Was he happy? No, and they knew about it as well, because he said, "Let's just check the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says on this." And they said, "Oh yes, this makes sense. In Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophet about, 'O you Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So they had their Bible open, and God, they said, "This is what God says. He's going to give us a special king. He's going to shepherd us, take care of us, a good king." But actually, they weren't happy, were they? They said, "We've come here to worship your king." And they actually were troubled. Well, they were sad and upset and disturbed. They didn't want God's king, even though they had knew his promises in the Bible that he was going to give them a good king. Why? Why wouldn't you want God's king? Because they wanted to be in charge. They like being king. They like doing what they wanted to do. They didn't want to have Jesus tell them what to do. They didn't want to have to listen to Jesus. So they weren't happy. They weren't happy with God's king. They didn't say, "Let's go with you and worship him." They actually wanted to hurt the king. And they stayed where they were. So they didn't want God's special king. But let's read how the Magi, the wise men, how did they think about God's king? It says this: "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped. And they opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh." So think about that. That's different, isn't it? That's a different way to think about God's king. They'd done all this thing. They'd followed this star all this way. They'd made all this effort for a baby. They traveled all that way for a baby. And when they saw that baby, what did they do? They fell down and worship. If you're in assembly sometimes, and you're sitting there, maybe you're doing what you want, you're talking to your friend, and the head teacher walks to the front. What do you do? You stop. And do you have to sit up straight with your arms folded? Do you have to do that? Yeah. You're saying, "Oh, someone important's here. We need to show them that we know you're doing it. Look, that's really good. Yeah, someone important's here." You're saying, "Yeah, I want to show you with my body that I know you're important and I'm going to show respect to you." Yeah, that's what they're doing in assembly sometimes. But that's what they were doing. They came in, but it wasn't a head teacher, was it? It was a baby. They saw a baby and they said, "We know this baby is so special that we want to show them in how we behave." And then he gave them gifts. They gave him gifts. And they were really, really expensive gifts. They were gold. What else were they? Frankincense and Yeah, basically, really, really expensive things that you would only normally give to someone really important, like a king. But they gave that to a baby. Can you imagine going to the jewelry shop and saying, give us all these pretty rings and watches and stuff, and then going maybe to the Apple store and getting loads of expensive iPads and things like that and going, we're going to give these to a newborn baby. You go, why would you do that? Why would you give it to a baby? Well, maybe they're saying, we know this is a really special baby. They were saying, we know the true King Herod, that Herod is not the true king. This little baby, he's from God. He's special. We want to show that he is the true king. So there was two responses to God's special king. There was Herod and the other people who wanted to cling on. They want to be in charge. Or there was the wise men, Magi, and they wanted to worship him and come really far just to give him special gifts. This is very, very important for all of us in here. Because God has given us this special king. Jesus. Jesus who only did and said what was good. He showed us that he loves what is good from God. He showed us that he has come to take care of us, to give us what we need. You've already sang how Jesus comes to take away our sins, to give us what we need, to fight our battles for us like a king fights for us. So he fights death for us to give us life. And yes, as our king, he tells us what to do. Not because Jesus just likes being bossy and likes being in charge, but because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. So each one of you, each one of us in this room, we have to make a decision. Are we going to be like Herod and those people? They didn't want another king in charge. They wanted to be in charge. It's more fun to be in charge of yourself, to do what you want. It doesn't matter what other people think or how we treat other people, as long as we can do what we want. That's being like Herod. That's saying, I want to be king. How does that end in the world? What kind of world does that make? What kind of world does that make? Often the world we live in, isn't it? A lot of violence from Herod. There's a lot of violence in our world today. Most importantly, you'd be rejecting God's special king. So we don't want to be like Herod. We don't want to be kings. When I said, who thinks you'd make a good king? None of us would make a good king. There's only one good king. So we want to be like the Magi, those wise men, who when they heard about Jesus said, we'll go to great lengths just to say, Jesus, we want you as our king. We're going to say with our body and with our gifts, everything we have, we want to say, Jesus, you're our king. And people would say, that's crazy. Just do what you want. And they would say, no. This is our King Jesus. He loves us. He is good. He gives us what we need. And we'll give all of our time and our effort and our money and everything we've got because we want to say, Jesus is our king. And even if people thought they were silly for doing that to a baby, and they might think it's silly for you to want to listen to Jesus, you'd say, well, I prefer that. It's more important to listen to God's king than for me to try and be the king. So you can either be like Herod. You can want to be king. It doesn't end well. We can be like the Magi and say, yes, Jesus is my king. He is good. He loves me. He gives me what I need. And I want to listen to him.